Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and be with us as we're here this morning. To those that are visiting as well, we give you a special welcome. It's nice to see the Reverend and Mrs. Mercer. Got that shock just outside as I was about to come in. I was informed they're here. We welcome you, and we pray that the Lord will bless you. And to others that are visiting with us as well, we give you a special welcome. Pray that the Lord will bless each one, and that we will know the Lord's presence and help even this morning as we worship Him. Do remember the services as they continue through today. We do remind you of the evening service at 7 p.m. with the season of prayer at 6:30 in the upper room. It's always good to see God's people gathering together to pray and then coming even to the house of the Lord together. And we do encourage you to make that effort to be found once again in the house of the Lord tonight. We continue in the studies in the book of Acts. And we're in chapter 27. In the next 2 weeks, we want to speak about the experiences in the storms of life. Tonight, we want to consider the sinner's experience in the storm of life. And then next week, we're going to come back and look at the saint's experience in the storms of life. So do make those efforts to be in the house of God and to be inviting and encouraging others to come as well. Our children's work continues on Monday evening at 7 p.m. We do covet your prayers for that work amongst the boys and the girls. Wednesday evening will be a deputation meeting on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. The Reverend Julian Patterson will be here on their behalf to bring us up to date with the work. And we invite and encourage young and old alike to come and to hear of how the Lord is blessing and using that work right across the world. And of course, do remember the offering that's lifted at the end of the service and that goes towards that work. So Wednesday night, that deputation on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. Friday night, the youth fellowship meet again at 8 p.m. We invite and encourage our young people to be here with us on the Friday evenings at 8 and to have that fellowship together. Services next Sunday, the Sabbath school at 10:30, and in the regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Remember, of course, the seasons of prayer beforehand, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct both of those services. This will be the final announcement today for the Let the Bible Speak calendars. We still have the 4 remaining in the front porch. If you would like one, please do take it with you today. They're priced at £5. It is the 50th anniversary edition of the calendar. And as I say, today will be the last opportunity to get one of those calendars. So if you'd like one, then please do avail of that today. We're turning now to the Psalm section, to the Psalm number 40 in our hymn books as we commence our worship. Psalm 40, you'll find it on the page 37. I waited for the Lord, my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. We'll sing the opening 5 verses together of Psalm number 40, please. Stand as we sing. and still ourselves in God's presence. Tonight, together around the throne of grace and prayer, let's pray together. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we come to thee this morning with hearts that are full of praise and joy, even as we consider those words of the psalm that we have just been singing together. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee, O God, for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, that we were who at once were enmity with God, and yet now we can draw nigh into thy presence, because we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for salvation. We thank thee, O God, for the covenant of grace and of mercy even towards us. We thank thee for everything that Christ accomplished for us upon this earth. We thank thee for the perfect life that he lived. We thank thee for the sacrificial death that he died. We rejoice and we praise thee this day for the resurrection from the dead, his ascension into glory, his seating at the right hand of God, and now even as he intercedes in our behalf. We do joy, O God, this day in the gospel of Christ. We thank thee for the comfort that it is to our souls. O God, we look around and we think of the great depravity of sin and the great immorality of sin. And yet, Father, we thank thee for what thou hast done for us. We thank and praise thee that thou art still doing it for others, even to this very day and this very hour. Souls are being saved. The church of Jesus Christ is being built, and God is keeping his word. O Father, we bow before thee in adoration and praise. We come, O God, rejoicing that we are coming before the living and the true God. We thank and praise thee that thou art the sole king and head of this church. We thank and praise thee that we do not look to any other, but our eyes are upon thee, for thou hast the words of truth. O Father, bless us in this house today. Bless us as we come to worship and to praise. O Father, we pray for clean hands. We pray for pure hearts that we might ascend into the hill of God, that we might stand in the holy place. O Father, bless us and shelter us this day, we pray thee. We pray for the presence of God to be amongst us. We pray for the power of God to be evident in this meeting. We pray for that protection to be round about, or that the devil will be kept out of this meeting. That, O God, every hindrance, every harm to the heart and to the mind of the children of God will be kept away from us. We pray even this day that thou wilt bless in every aspect. We thank thee for the work amongst the children this morning in Sabbath school. We thank thee for the word of God that has been brought to their ears and to their minds, and yea, O God, to their hearts afresh. Lord, bless it. Speak on, we pray, through it. May each child, each young person, may they know more of thy word. For those that are not saved, that thou wilt save them. Thou wilt draw them unto thyself. For those that are saved, that thou wilt enable them to grow. Even young in life, give them that sure, that firm foundation in the faith, that as they grow up, that they will not simply be blown away with the storms and with the winds of strife in this life, but, O God, that they will have that rooting and that firm standing in the word of God. Lord, bless our young people. Bless them in their own lives. Encourage them, we pray thee. Bless every family, every individual. We think of our adults, we think of our elderly as well. We pray, O God, that thou wilt watch over each one. We pray for the week that lies ahead, for thy blessing to be upon every individual. We pray that they will know the presence of God, the help of the Lord, the leading, the guidance in every decision and every step that they must take. We remember the sick. O Father, draw near to them. We think of those that have needs, even in terms of health needs. We think of those with appointments in this incoming week. Lord, that thou will be very near to them, that they will know that peace, that they will know that help, that they will know that grace of God. We thank thee, thy grace is sufficient. O God, may they prove it even afresh this week. Remember those that are elderly, O God, that no longer can join with us. Lord, we pray for thy hand to be upon them. We thank thee for the grace of God that's evident in their lives. Lord, we pray that I will continue to be that sure foundation even for them, and that rock to cling to. Lord, remember those that mourn in our community. Father, we think of that family in Seskenore this morning, the Barker family. Lord, thou knowest the grief that there is. Lord, we pray for comfort. We pray, O God, that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt speak to every heart, that thou wilt save precious souls in these days. O Father, we hear of the mercy drops around our land, and we thank thee for them. But O God, we pray for the visitation of God in our area once again. We pray that the Lord will draw near. We pray that the Spirit of God will come and will sweep through Tyrone, that will sweep through the west of Northern Ireland, that will do a great and a wonderful work, that we will see God move and God saving precious souls. O God, be near to our denomination. Bless our ministers. Bless, O God, our presbytery as a whole. Bless our college. Bless the students at this time as they enter into their study week. Lord, give them that help. Prepare them, O God, for the weeks that lie ahead. Bring them through for thine honour and for thy glory. Remember our missionaries. O God, be near to them. Bless them in these days. Pour out thy Spirit upon them. May they know the help of God. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the great God of heaven and of earth. We thank thee this day that we can cast all of our care upon thee, knowing that thou dost care for us. O God, we commit ourselves into thy hands. Bless in the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 9, the page 178, the hymn number 9, with harps and with viols there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song: unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. The hymn number 9 will stand again as we sing, please. Let's stand as we sing. continue to read through the book of Proverbs together. And we come this morning to Proverbs chapter 5. The book of Proverbs in the chapter 5. We'll read together the opening 12 verses of this chapter. Proverbs chapter 5 and the verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold in hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honour unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labours be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. We'll sing together the hymn 151. The hymn 151. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. The hymn 151. Remain seated, please, as the tithes and the offerings are lifted for the Lord. Stand for verse 3, please. Let's open our Bibles now, please, in the book of Ruth in the chapter 4. The book of Ruth in the chapter 4, we come to the closing verses of the chapter. Breaking in at the verse 18. Thankfully, these names are easier than the ones we read the other night at the prayer meeting. Ruth chapter 4, the verse 18. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon. And Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the joys of family. The joys of family. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Ask the Lord to speak to every heart today. Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for thy presence with us in this meeting thus far. We thank thee for the praises that we have been able to sing together, for thy precious word that we have read, and for our acceptance even around the throne of grace to pray. We thank thee, O God, that our minds continuously this morning have been brought to grace, to salvation that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And O God, even in these moments now as we come around thy precious word, Father, teach us more of grace. Show us more of thyself. Empty each one of self and of sin. Fill us with thy spirit. O God, speak to the lost. Save their souls. Speak to the backslider. Draw them unto thyself. Speak to thy children. O God, encourage. Enable them to grow. Give them that joy in the Lord. Give them that joy that is their strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. What does family mean to you? Now, when you think about it, family is the first gift that you ever receive. From the moment of conception, the little child in the mother's womb has a mother and has a father. At birth, the child will experience the love and the care of mother and father for the very first time. Whenever that child is born, they will get to know their parents very, very quickly. It's amazing, even a baby when it's first born, and even for those first few days, the child has barely any eyesight. The eyesight doesn't fully form and come through for a number of days. But yet a baby knows the voice of the mother. It also can know the voice of the father if the father's taken the time to speak to the child whenever the child was in the womb. But very quickly that baby gets to know mum and dad. It gets to know that love. It gets to know that care of the mother and of the father. And as the child grows up and as the child becomes more aware of their surroundings and has that understanding of family, they'll get to know their family circle. They'll get to know granny and granda. They'll get to know their aunties and their uncles. And they'll get to know their cousins. And my, it's interesting, as children grow up and as they're there in the home, they get to know, well, which auntie's the eccentric one? Which auntie do they not want to go to that house because the house stinks of boiled cabbage? Which granny will let them off with more whenever they're at granny or whenever old granny needs to mind us, and they'll ask, can granny so-and-so come and mind us? Because they know which granny they'll get off more with. They'll know which uncle's the stern one that looks down over the glasses and says, children should be seen and not heard. Leave us to talk. My, it's interesting how much children pick up. It's interesting how much you can learn of your family circles. It's interesting that whenever you come to it, as the children grow up, not only will they know and they start to learn and understand the family circle that's still alive, but then they're introduced and they learn about that family that's passed on. Maybe the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Maybe they'll hear it from their own parents or even from their grandparents about the generations back further. And they'll hear of those who were really precious, maybe in the community. They'll maybe hear of family members who fought in the wars. Maybe family members who did great heroic escapades within the wars, or maybe those that survived, or maybe those that died in the wars. They'll hear of those who were fantastic. They'll hear of those who were just so special to the entire family. Of course, nowadays, there is a great interest in ancestry. TV programs which delve into family trees and genealogies now are there within our TV screens. Some people are even employed to dig up the history of families and to see where they lived and what their lives consisted of. In a way, Scripture does also bring us the history of families. In the family trees of the people of Israel, we read some of them the other evening in the book of 1 Chronicles. And how Ezra was inspired of God to write that list, those opening 9 chapters, brings us the entire family history of the children of Israel. Tribe after tribe are listed. But it's interesting, some family trees, and it is true, some family trees are more special than others. Some family trees are barely talked about, but some family trees everyone knows about. This particular family line we read this morning is recorded for us 4 times in Scripture. You'll find it twice in the Old Testament, you'll find it twice in the New Testament. You find it here in Ruth chapter 4. You'll also find it in 1 Chronicles 2. You'll find it in Matthew 1 and you'll find it in Luke 3. 4 occasions in Scripture it tells us all about this special family. Because this family and this family line stands head and shoulders above the rest. It stands out very simply because of the grace of God. Generation after generation, the grace of God is evident. Generation after generation, the presence and the hand of God upon this family and upon this line is there to be seen. Because this line ultimately brings us to our Savior. This is the royal line which leads us to Christ. This is the line that brings us to the birth in Bethlehem of Jesus Christ as he took on our humanity. It's wonderful to consider our families. There are certain joys that families hold. I want to leave 3 thoughts with you this morning as we consider these closing verses in the book of Ruth. Firstly, as we consider families, I want us to think of the joy of the past. The joy of the past. The entire book of Ruth is widely believed to have been penned by Samuel. Samuel's the last judge of Israel. And you can see the list here finishes in the verse 22 with David. Even though David was anointed with holy oil and set apart to be king of Israel, yet he was not ashamed of who his family were. The first man that's mentioned in this particular list is Perez. Perez was the son of Judah. The coming together of Judah and Perez's mother Tamar is recorded in Genesis 38. It was a time and an act of sin by both the father and the mother of Perez. Tamar was actually the daughter-in-law of Judah. And her husband had passed away. And she played the harlot, she covered herself, she dressed herself in a certain manner, and Judah came to her and he went in unto her and she conceived. And so twins were born from that coming together. Even though the great act of sin was there between Judah and Tamar, yet the Lord had mercy, he showed great grace upon both individuals and the twins were born. Both Perez and his twin brother Zara. You think then, as you move on, how they went down into Egypt. The 70 souls of the people of Jacob went down into the land of Egypt. And within that land, God preserved them for over 400 years. God preserved that particular family line. Nashon is mentioned. Because here we see in this verse, it speaks there, and it says, Aminadab, in the verse 20, begat Nashon. You see, within the land of Egypt, God not only preserved the family line, God preserved the testimony. Nashon, we meet him in the book of Numbers. Nashon in Numbers chapter 7, that particular chapter brings us to the consecration of the tabernacle of God. And as the tabernacle is finished and as it is set up in its place and the offerings are ready to be offered, the God decrees and he says, now each tribe will offer a sacrifice. And I want the princes of each tribe to come forward and to offer this sacrifice on behalf of their people. Numbers chapter 7, it tells us that Nashon is the prince of the tribe of Judah. Numbers 7, verse 12, it says, he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Aminadab, of the tribe of Judah. Nashon was deemed worthy of God to draw nigh. He was deemed worthy of God to offer a sacrifice on behalf of his people. He was deemed worthy as the prince of the tribe that he could be the one to bring that offering and to offer it for his people and for and on their behalf. My, what a blessing. One to stand up, one to be available, one to step forward, one to offer a sacrifice. The grace of God was evident in Nashon's generation. It was evident in the next generation. Because we read the verse 20 that Nashon begat Salmon. Who was Salmon? Salmon was an Israelite who went into the city of Jericho. And at some stage he met a woman by the name of Rahab. And he married her. Remember Rahab from the book of Joshua? Rahab the harlot. Rahab the woman who hid the two spies in her loft. Rahab the one who hung that scarlet thread out of her window. Rahab the one whom God preserved. Rahab married Salmon. You find the evidence for that. Matthew 1 and 5. Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab. Rechab is the Greek translation of Rahab. There's a trophy of grace in itself. A woman who was a harlot, a woman who was a Canaanite, a woman who was an enemy. And yet God saved her. God brought her into his family. God brought her into his people. You know, it makes Ruth 2 in the verse 1 that bit more special. You remember back in Ruth 2 in the verse 1, it speaks about Boaz being the mighty man of wealth. And time and again throughout the book of Ruth, you have Boaz being brought to us as a man of great testimony, as a man of great standing amongst his people, as a man whom the people looked to, as a man whom the people acknowledged and honored, as a man whom the people were willing to work for. He was the son of a harlot from Jericho. He was a son of a woman who wasn't even an Israelite. Isn't it wonderful when you can look back generation after generation after generation, and what do you see? The grace of God. God's grace is the same in every generation. It was the same in the days of Judah before they ever went down into Egypt. It was the same in the days of Nashon when they came out of Egypt. It was the same in the days of the Canaanite campaign whenever Salmon took Rahab. It was the same in the days of Boaz. God's grace never changes. God's grace is the same for every generation. His grace is unchanging. His faithfulness is unchanging. His love is unchanging. And may you think of that, because every single generation, every single individual that we spoke about there, they were all in different settings. They were all in different countries. They were all in different scenarios. They were experiencing different challenges, different hardships, different trials before them. And yet God's grace was there every single day. Saving grace was still there in the wilderness as it was in Canaan, as it was in Egypt, as it was in the days of Jacob. And my friend, you look back at your history. We have different challenges today that our parents had, and the grandparents and the great-grandparents, maybe even different countries lived in, different experiences, different hardships, different scenarios. God's grace is the same. The joys of the past bring us to what God has done. But notice, secondly, not only the joys of the past, but verse 21, the joys of the present. Because it says, Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. May we never forget, as we come to the end of this book, that the greatest theme of this book is grace. When we look and we hear of Ruth, may we ever think of the grace of God. Never forget Ruth was from Moab. Never forget that Moab was the washpot of God. That's how God describes it in Psalm 60 in the verse 8. He describes Moab as my washpot. There was nothing in Moab that had the favor or the kindness of God upon it. There was nothing positive that God could see in that land. And yet from that land, God called Ruth. From that land, God brought Ruth. From that land, God saved Ruth. From that land, God brought her unto himself and unto his people. He brought her into his people. You know, he gave her wonderful acceptance. Do you remember those words that we looked at before, the testimony that she had amongst the Israelites in Bethlehem? Ruth 3 in the verse 11, Boaz speaks and he says, all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Do you remember the virtuous woman? The woman for, or the word for virtue is the same word as wealth for Boaz. The might of his wealth is the might of her virtue. She's as virtuous as he is wealthy. And that's the Israelites looking at someone who has come from Moab and has come in amongst them. Each one of them looks upon her and says, that woman is a virtuous woman. And God united her with Boaz. Boaz was the one to redeem her. Boaz was the one to take her unto himself. Boaz was the one that was blessed of God. Boaz was the one who brought her even and had that agreement. He paid that debt. He redeemed her unto himself. And God blessed the union because the child came forth. And so we come to the end of the book of Ruth. There's great joy. Joy in the family, of course. But joy in the whole town. That whole town of Bethlehem's rejoicing. Obed's born into a family who knew and loved the Lord. You know, in many ways, as I look at Obed, Obed's the Old Testament version of Timothy. Tells us 2 Timothy 1 to verse 5 that Timothy had an unfeigned faith which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You see the parallel. Naomi the grandmother, Ruth the mother, Obed, Lois the grandmother, Eunice the mother, Timothy. The grace of God is there in every generation. Paul could say of Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Obed could say the same. Remember, we looked at the man Obed, we looked at this child as he would grow up to be what? The redeemer of Naomi. The one who would be there to meet her every need. The one who would be there to care for her. The one who would be there to watch over her. Why isn't it wonderful when you consider the joy in a family in the present day? To see what God has done. To see what God's doing. Here was Bethlehem gathering around this home, gathering around this family. And the joy that is there is evident. Look what God has done. Look at Boaz has found a wife. And Boaz and wife have come together and God has blessed them. There's a child. Look at the joy the child's bringing. Isn't it wonderful in your present situation, in your family circles, when you can trace the hand of God? You can see His handiwork. Parents, as you see your children grow up, you can look back over the years of their lives and you can see God blessed there. God worked out that for my child. God worked that out for us as parents. You know, I have two boys. They're coming bit by bit, they're flying up. But you know, when you can look back and you can see in their childhood, God did that. God sorted that. Even you think of it, we moved house, we come down here. The parent, the thought straight away is, how will the children do? God worked it. And parents in every generation, in your present situation, you can look at your children and you can say, God did this. Maybe your children are saved. You can look and say, there's where God saved my children. Maybe you're concerned and you thought, my child's going off into the world and my child's away. And you just look and you can say, well, God spared them there. God watched over them there. God softened them there. God spoke to them there. Yes, they're maybe not saved yet, but you can see that change working. You can see God at work in their lives. And that joy, that peace that it brings to your heart, God's still in control. God's undertaking. Oh, brother and sisters, look for the hand of God in your lives. Look for the hand of God in the family's life. Look for the hand of God in the circumstances. See His work. Note His presence. For in His presence is the fullness of joy. There's joy in the past. There's joy in the present. Thirdly and finally, there's joy in the future. You read verse 22, it says, Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. The very last word in this book is the very first mention of the greatest king Israel ever had, David. David was the youngest boy of Jesse. If you've ever read 1 Samuel 16, you'll know that. He was a child that Jesse didn't even consider to bring before Samuel. He was a shepherd boy out with the sheep, not even upon his father's mind as the great prophet and the last judge came. And yet David would be the one to come and to be the greatest king that Israel has ever had. He would be the king to unite the people. He would be the king to strengthen the nation. You know, the name of David is still synonymous with the Israelite people even to this very day. Jerusalem is the city of David. Their flag is the Star of David. David is still upon their minds and upon their hearts. He's never been forgotten. My, if you just take this snapshot of all of the generations that are listed here in Ruth chapter 4, what a family tree you have. You have a prince of Judah, Nashon. You have a priest offering sacrifices in Nashon. You have a kinsman redeemer in Boaz. You have the redeemer of Naomi in Obed. And then you have the greatest king of Israel and David. Not bad for a family tree, is it? You could do some talking about that family tree when you bring the neighbors around. And yet every one of them just simply points us to Christ. The Prince of Judah, Jesus Christ. The great high priest, Jesus Christ. Kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. The great King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. You know, so often we get caught up in family trees. So often we can think to ourselves, oh, it's all about what I can boast about. It's all about how I can show and I can say, oh, look at my aunt, look at my father, look at my grandfather, look at the family tree, look at the family name. Very easy to get caught up in pride and boasting, wouldn't it? You know, in David's time, whenever he was king, David knew his family history. David knew every generation. David knew who came from where, who married who, and who they had as children. Nathan visited David on one occasion. Nathan came and he told him, 2 Samuel 7, he says, "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Nathan there is given a great covenantal promise. David, it's your house that Christ will come through. It's your family that the Son of God, the Messiah, is going to come in the generations and the descendants to come. Christ is going to come through your house. You know what David says? Bearing in mind, there's princes of Judah, there's kinsmen redeemers, there's priests, there's the great king of Israel. Bearing in mind all of that history, do you know what David's response is when he's told Christ is coming through his line? 2 Samuel 7:18, he says, "Who am I? Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Who am I? I'm only a king. You've just told me the King of Kings is coming. What is my house with all of my rich history in comparison to the Son of God? Kings, princes, rulers, kinsmen, redeemers, mighty men of wealth, none of that mattered in light of Christ. My friend, this morning, the greatest blessing you can have in your family is Jesus Christ. The greatest joy a parent can have is for their children to know Christ as their own and as their personal Savior. To know that your child is saved. The greatest hope you can have for your future generations is that each one of them will come to know and love the Lord. The greatest prayer that a grandparent can pray, "Lord, save my grandbabies." Lord, don't break the circle. Lord, bring them into thy family. No, we all encourage our children, do your best in school. It's a recurring conversation sometimes, isn't it? Do your best. Get the best marks, the best grades. Give yourself the best opportunities you can. You'll need money and life to survive. Get the best job possible. But above all, get saved. Have Christ. What does the hymn say? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This world affords today. Because after all, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Know the joy of the future generations for David was this: Christ is coming. The greatest joy you can have today as a parent is that Christ is in your family. The hearts of your children and grandchildren. And that the name of Christ lives on generation after generation after generation in your family. Parents today, let me encourage you, pray for it. Children today, as you grow up, if you're saved, let me encourage you, ever seek to keep it. As it comes to the time in your lives, you choose a life's partner, you're saved, make sure the one you're marrying is saved. Make sure Christ is ahead of the home. Make sure you instruct and train your children and bring them up the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That the joy of Christ is evident in every generation and in every home. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the great grace of God that we can see even in these closing words of this book. The great grace that was evident generation after generation. We thank thee that grace is still there today. We thank thee, O God, that thy grace is still sufficient. We thank thee, O God, that thy grace does still save and does still keep. O God, bless every family. Bless every household. Oh, we pray for children that are still outside of Christ, that thou wilt have mercy upon them. Thou wilt save their precious souls. Save grandchildren. Oh God, each generation as it comes, oh God, have mercy upon them. Unite them in Christ. Oh, that the testimony of Christ will live on in our homes. Will live on in our children's homes. Oh, Father, bless us, we pray thee. Separate us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. We pray for thy presence to be with us throughout this day. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bring us again tonight. Bring others with us. And meet with us in this house, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.